You're listening to 101.9 FM Vancouver. Streaming and podcasting to the world at CITR.ca. Sounds of the Whiskey Dicks. This is RPP Sound and Friends, and I'm privileged enough to have in studio with me, all the way from the other side of the world, Mr. Ryan Enns, the original lead singer, frontman, and composer for the band. Ryan, how's it going?
Great, man. It's awesome to be here with you, Robin.
Quite a treat. Ryan, so tell me, you live in Australia now.
Yeah.
And fortunately, though, several times a year, you still are able to do quite a few performances with the band, yeah?
Yeah, man. I think I've done like 25 or 30 gigs a year in Canada, even since I moved to Australia 6 years ago. I've been pretty lucky that way, man.
And the band formed in 2001?
There's a bit of debate there. Like, you know, we were busking outside a liquor store for a long time. It was a liquor store in Deep Cove where me and Pat and Curtis and Mike started playing fiddle tunes, because fiddle music makes people want to drink, and if they're at a liquor store, it makes them happy if they want to drink and they give them money.
Right. So you guys had this figured out from a pretty...
Yeah, we kind of worked that angle early on, and then...
So you guys met in Deep Cove?
Well, Patty and I have actually gone to school together since, like, grade two. He moved up to the Yukon.
Pat, of course, is the fiddle player for the band.
That's right, yeah. So I met Pat and his younger brother, Curtis, when they moved up to Whitehorse. And, oh, man, it's a long time. So it'd be grade two, I think. And then we ended up going to Cap together. And we never played much together in the Yukon, but we were both kind of the music guys in our year. And then when we ended up at Cap together, we just started putting things together and playing. So it was actually 2002 that we played our first real paying gig. It was St. Patrick's Day 2002 in North Van.
In North Van.
Yeah.
Where was that gig?
It was in the bottom of it was Indigo Books then.
No way.
But
seriously.
There was a bar downstairs, but it was somewhere on like 2nd Ave or something in North Van. There's a big Indigo bookstore near McDonald's and a car dealership. Everything's near McDonald's and a car dealership in North Van, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, I was in there.
When was the first album produced?
Oh, I think it was 2002. Yeah, we were like in our second year of college over at Cap there. Pat and I were studying music, and that's where we kind of got serious, I think.
How old would you have been then, approximately?
Well, hang on a second here, like 2002, so I would have been 19. So it's basically as soon as we were able to get into the bars, we were playing there. So that's kind of actually always the way it's been for me.
Right.
Bars were a place of work as soon as I was allowed in. And even, you know, Curtis was like 16, 17.
Wow.
So I remember him getting served martinis by our member of parliament when we played it. Played at festivals up north. And yeah, he was 16 when we started. He wasn't even allowed in the Commodore.
Incredible.
The first time we played at the Commodore. But
that in itself was quite a big accomplishment for a young band. When was that and how did that come to be?
Well, things started to kind of fire up for us when Patty's always been the ambitious one when it comes to chasing gigs and stuff. And he told me about this band called The Town Pants that were playing at the Blarney Stone one Wednesday night. And I don't think I was old enough to go to the bar yet at that point, but we thought we'd try it. We were pretty badass like that. And we went to the Blarney Stone and we ended up catching up with Dwayne Keel afterwards. And that was kind of like the first meeting that led to most of our gigs for those first like 3-4 years, where he hooked us up at the Celtic Festival. And, you know, this is great new young band playing old style music, and they really kind of grabbed onto us with Celtic Fest, and so we ended up supporting the Town Pants at the Commodore the first time.
Okay.
And that's how we ended up being like a 9-piece band for a period of time. When you're playing at the Commodore, all your friends are like, hey, I want to join your band, and we're just all about good times.
I remember that first Commodore. It was quite a performance. From the Celtic Fest, the band really became quite well known, I think I can say, in the pub scene in in Vancouver. I have particular memories of an old place called the Atlantic Trap in Gill. Tell me about that era and how that helped shape things. The place, as I remember it, had quite an energy, and it was a really cool spot.
There was a lot of these old places that I think we were lucky enough to be around for the heyday. You know, Vancouver's kind of been gentrifying pretty well for the past 15 years, and so we were lucky enough to kind of get in at the start of that with a lot of places where, like, the Atlantic Trap and Gill was right at Seymour and Davie, and it was just like a relic where it'd been there forever. They had, fishing nets hanging from the walls. It was always full of newbies.
Remember a time it would have all the old church pews?
Yeah, long benches, really social place, had a horrible sound system, and people just loved their music there. I'd always have the 10 newfies screaming for Barrett's Privateers every time we played there. There's an old blind guy who played the spoons. We called him Spoon Man. We used to throw him solos. And yeah, that was a great spot. So there were a few bars like that that kind of took us on, where we'd play weekly. And you know, we just got to be part of the scene where these people had so much fun. And it was fun to be around. And the music was such a big part of that. We got to be the ones singing the songs.
At the time, the band was considered, I'd say, like Celtic Gypsy Punk. Where did the punk fit in?
Well, we just like punk music. I think punk, in like when you're describing music, punk is usually a code word for bad singing. So rock usually means there's like a guitar being strummed hard. Reggae means there's like some halftime things. And when they include the word punk, it usually means that the singer doesn't sing very well. So that was definitely true of us in the start. We, I just sang because someone had to sing.
a bit of an anti-establishment power to the people sort of energy in there, would you say?
That's right, yeah. We didn't, I'm mostly joking about the punk only meaning bad singing. But, we just grew up on so much punk music. You know, we're 90s kids. So NOFX and Weezer and a lot of the music that influenced us is punk, and so that's sort of our sensibility too, and that's part of the Irish music thing also. Like, I mean, it's not just us, it's the
it's folk music, it's the people's music.
Irish rebel songs, folk music is punk music anyway. It's just the instrumentation that makes it different, eh? Like, you think of the Pogues and any one of their songs, if you just swapped out the acoustics for electrics, it'd be a punk song.
Right. Yeah. I think one of the cool... the bands, I think part of the formula to the success that you guys have had is that it's sort of chronicled time in a regard to... you look at songs like Back in 86 or... there's even... You mentioned the names of a lot of the old pubs, which sort of keeps them alive in people's psyche.
And we've always...
Was that a conscious thing?
On every... It was just writing about what we care about. So on every album, there's at least one song that's kind of like a protest song about Vancouver liquor laws, or just bars getting closed down to build new condos. Or there's a song called Red Tape that's all about just how hard it is to get a liquor primary license in Vancouver. So most of our bars in this town have to function as restaurants. And there is... I think some of the liquor laws have changed since I've been away, but there is a long time there where none of the venues...
They didn't even want people standing up dancing.
They weren't allowed, yeah.
And it's music.
That's right. And there was a period where, like, almost all the bars that we played at weren't really allowed to have amplified loud music. It was sketchy because they were allowed to have an amplified DJ, and they were allowed to have unplugged live music, but they weren't allowed to have amplified live music. And so we were kind of just having to fly under the radar, where every gig was like potentially a $10,000 fine for the bar. And it puts a lot of pressure on establishments, that thing. And other things, like your food order had to equal your drink order, so everyone had to, like...
You gotta wonder what hole, in what dark office these people who made these laws are.
They're just miserable people, I think. Hey, the fun police. And like outside of Granville Street in Vancouver, there's just no place where you could just go in and get a beer and listen to a band. So it kind of changed the equation for everyone. So, we've been lucky where we've managed to thrive in all of these environments, but that's just because, we have to be very, very flexible and make sure that the bar is making money off of us every time we play.
The I spoke about this a bit with Mike, but the band can play with as few as two people and quite a large arrangement.
The lineup has gotten more and more ad hoc over the years, just because we've always had to make a band out of who's available, and depending on the gig. So even today, like I think last night we were a six piece. Hang on, let's count. Me, Patty, Curtis, Sam, Kyle.
Five
fingers. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, we were a five piece last night. We'll be a three piece most of the gigs that were in Whistler. I think on New Year's Eve we were a five piece, but different people. We had no drums, but we had Mike on guitar. So that makes it fun for us too, man. That the lineup keeps changing, so it keeps us fresh, because it's we play a lot of gigs. They play a lot of gigs the rest of the year, and then the band's very busy, so it's good when we can change up the lineup and change up the sets a lot.
You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR.ca, broadcasting from Vancouver. We're lucky enough to have in studio live with us one of the original singers of the Whiskey Dicks, Mr. Ryan Enns. Ryan, tell me, you've written quite a bit of the music for the band. What's that process like for you? How do you go about writing? Is it something that just happens, or do you sit down in a dark room with a pen and paper? How do you do that?
Well, there's been a lot of different, there's a lot of different ways that it happens. I think the most common way for this band is that Patty will have a fiddle tune in mind, and then I'll think of, we'll think of something that we care enough about to write a song. The thing to me is that, man, there's been so many songs written in the course of human history, and so many really great ones, that as a songwriter, it's hard to really feel like you can do something that hasn't been done. So I don't think the Whiskey Dicks have a single love song, really. And, most of the songs that, most of the topics that we pick are trying to find some angle on a subject that hasn't really been covered. So
you do feel a little bit of pressure to try and do something outside of the box?
Well, there's just so many great songs in the universe. You got to try to do something new, or what's the point? So, like, I wrote Koozie's Husky Team. It's maybe my favorite song that I've written for the band. We don't play it very often. It's a pretty dark song. But it was a fiddle tune that Patty wrote, and then there's the story that their grandpa told us about a town in northern Northwest Territories where he was stationed with the RCMP, and they used dog teams to get around a lot there, and a little boy saw these dogs and thought, oh, those are nice puppies, I want to make friends with them. So he brought them out some food, and the dogs ate the boy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so that was the story, and this is a true story, but the rest of it I kind of made up. So the idea is that, there's this boy's dad comes out and sees that the dogs just killed his boy, so he murders the whole Husky team, and then there's all these dead dogs lying around, and that attracts polar bears, and then the town is just overrun with polar bears eating these huskies, and then
it's a really dramatic, cool piece. There's something epic about it.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick listen.
Sure.
Husky team, and a young boy went outside with some bread for them to eat. He was 8 years old, and to his own mind they seemed not a pack of wild dogs, but some friends he'd like to meet. And I am told the boy's father heard a scream, brought the fear into his heart, brought the ass out of his seat. He lost his soul when he saw that things weren't as they seemed. The dogs were fighting for his bread, they were fighting for his meat. Well, he's strong down. When he got back to his feet, and this is what he dogs were now asleep after they had had their fill. He had his 12-gauge double barrel side by side, the carton of a dozen slugs, 11 dogs to kill. The anger that he had inside made him feel so justified as he filled the night with chaos. It once had been so still, but Koozie did not feel the same way. Like a raging dog, he came and discovered that the father had a slug for him as well.
Yeah, so I don't know if you caught the ending there, but it was the end of the story is that this town is overrun with polar bears, and the polar bears are tearing open the chainsaws and all the jerry cans of gas, because I don't know if most people know this, but bears are crazy about the smell of gasoline, and the bears just decimate this town, and then the people need to go for help, but of course they have no more dog team. No fuel, and it's all because this little boy tried to feed some bread to a pack of dogs.
Don't feed the wildlife.
Yeah, so it's hard to come up with new song concepts, but I'm pretty sure that one hasn't been done before.
She was 18, at least that's what she said.
And then, you know, we try to write songs about what we know. So The Godfather is all about Falconetti's, where there's a small staff there for years. We played Falconetti's last night for the first time in like 7 years, but we played there every weekend for years.
Is it any of the same?
Billy's back. Yeah, Chippy Chow. Billy's back. And that's been 10 years since that heyday of that place for us. And, man, it was like a really tight-knit crew of staff. And with any small group of people that are around each other all the time, it got a little bit incestuous with the relationships that come and go. No actual brother-sister kind of incestuous, but a little bit. And so we wrote a song about don't shit where you eat, don't sleep with your boss's daughter kind of thing. And that's to the tune of The Godfather. I wrote a medieval allegory about my buddy's ex-girlfriend, because she was just the worst.
This is The Godfather by the Whiskey Dicks, 101.9 FM CITR.
It says 825-6354.
And I said, what is the Godfather calling for? And I hear his angry voice up through the door. And he said, where is my daughter? Open up, you scum, I know that you've got her. I hit the floor, ready for the slaughter. You do not mess with the Godfather. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, shit where you eat. Da-da-da-da-da-da, that's what they always say. Cause if you do, I'm warning you, you'll be knee-deep in shit until your dying day. I heard two more. The Godfather was gunning down my door. At least one bullet hit the left side of my bed. When he got through the door, his little whore was dead. And as he kneeled down and cried, I took his gun. I pulled that trigger, now I'm living on the run. My days are numbered, but long after they are done.
And we're back with Ryan Enns, the lead singer of the Whiskey Dicks, Vancouver's party rock band. Ryan, you moved to Australia. How long ago is
that? It was 2010. So it was, you know, this whole stories that have like had a beginning, a middle, and an end since I've been away. It's six years I've been gone.
6 years you've been gone, and about 6 years you were here?
No, more than that. So it was 8 years I was here.
So it must have been as amazing as it would be to go to Australia and start a new life. It probably was a little bit difficult to leave all the music and the connections you had.
Yeah, it was a lot to give up when I moved away because, you know, my wife and I, we both had a pretty good life here. And, you know, the band's like a family that you got to say goodbye to. And, yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty. Like, when I moved away, I didn't know that I'd be able to come back and do, you know,
20, 30
shows a year, like, in Canada with the same guys.
Is it easy to come back and do that?
Yeah, I got to shake off the old cobwebs a little bit, fire up the old time machine, and step into the old boots. And, you know, when I left, Mike had to fill my shoes, and I'm sure that wasn't easy for him. But now that I'm, now, like, when I'm back, I have to fill his shoes. And I tell you, that's not easy because Mike has gotten so good. He's changed the game. So, it's harder every time because the band gets better every time. But that makes it easier, too. Everyone else knows what they're doing.
Tell me about the audience for the band. Do you recognize any consistency or who listens? There must be fans around the world at this point.
Yeah, well, my favorite thing about playing with this band is that the people who really like us have amazing taste in music. So, of course I'd say that, right? Of course, I think anyone who likes my band has great taste. But I guess what I mean is they have similar tastes. So we find people that kind of grew up with the same stuff, similar sensibilities.
It's pretty high energy music, so
that's right.
It's hard not to get into it.
And it's all. I think the other thing is that it's all music from cultures where music is really, really important. Like, for Irish pubs, it's like required that they have live music in an Irish pub, and with with most of the folk music that we play, like even, you know, the Russian medley, that song, Ochichornia, that's everything to a lot of people in Russia. Like, that's the song that they sing at their weddings and their funerals and, wow, their birthdays. It's happy, it's sad. And like a lot of the music that we play, that even, you know, people who haven't heard it before, it engages with them so quick. And I think part of it is because these songs are just really, really important in some cultures, and it's just kind of part of our brains now, part of our chemistry, you know, the Russian stuff, and it just kind of grabs people. So the other thing that's great about this band is that people don't need to know the songs to like them. Like, we, for our covers, we choose covers that people tend to grab onto right away, so that we don't need to play anything too mainstream. But it's just fun music that anyone can get into.
Some of the covers you do are rap songs, yeah, hip hop songs.
Yeah, I don't do anything. Also on this trip, some fun things we've been doing is like a swing version of Creep by Radiohead, and we do a swing version of Santeria, and then dead guy songs. Because so many musicians died this year, so we've got a David Bowie tune we've been playing, and George Michael, of course. Yeah, so we try to chuck out some pretty cool covers. And the thing these days is there's just so many songs. Like, it used to be an issue of making sure we had enough songs to get through, like, a three.
Now it's
three
how do we squeeze it all in?
Yeah, like, what are we gonna skip?
Squeeze the right stuff in.
Yeah, that's it. So,
do you ever do a show where you had a set list in mind, you get there, and it's just like we're gonna do something different?
Yeah, we didn't make set lists for years. I'll still I'll make a song list these days. Or for a gig 2 nights ago, I did make a set list, and we followed it pretty well. And then last night, I'd put the set list out, we just kind of pick and choose from it. It's mostly just so that you don't get that, I call it the blockbuster effect. You know, when you, back in the days of video stores, you go to the video store and you can't think of a single movie you want to watch. And there's hundreds, but you just can't think of them when you're in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that happens all the time when you're playing music. You finish a song, you're like, oh, that was awesome. No, oh, do we know any other songs? And I can get that feeling every night. I don't know any other songs. I know hundreds of songs. But it's just something happens where you get wrapped up in one.
Silly question. Is it ever hard to remember the lyrics of a certain song, considering you have a repertoire of that many?
Totally.
Just in you?
I have a hard time. Well, like, I mean, I'm good at it. I'm good at remembering words to songs. But, man, I get surprised sometimes of, like, songs that I wrote that I can't remember the words to. And then people in the crowd will be shouting
them at me. They're singing it for you.
Yeah. So that's been my favorite thing.
Initially, is it a process to remember it or not really?
Well, usually once we get started, it's okay.
Comes right
the
back.
One thing that I noticed the other night, because I was playing mandolin, is that I don't really know the chords for a lot of the songs. Just my left hand knows the chords. So when we play like songs that we've played like 2,000 times, I'm not aware at all about what chords I'm playing. And then when I'm playing it on mandolin,
born to be.
Well, when I'm doing it on mandolin, I have to actually think about what chords I'm supposed to play. And so I have to just try to like remember what my fingers would be doing and then translate that to the name of a chord and then put it on mandolin. So that's actually harder than the words sometimes, eh?
Yeah. Something a lot of people don't know is that you guys are all pretty much all musically trained, yeah? You have a degree in music.
I came...
You didn't when the band formed.
Well, we were in music school. Yeah, okay. So we were studying when it started. Me and Patty were at CAP and Mike. And then we met Dave Cornis, who was also at CAP, and then Curtis came and also went to CAP. So we were all studying music there, and then I came to UBC.
Which I must imagine is a pretty cool feature, because there are a lot of bands that are good bands, and you know, other than learning how to play whatever instrument they play, there's not necessarily formal training. How does that shape things for you guys, particularly in that some are classically trained, some are jazz trained?
Well, we all started the same. We all have like the 2 years classical at CAP. Kyle's.
For people who aren't musically inclined, explain What does that actually mean? Because it's not classical music.
Yeah, so the big difference for us, like, I mean, the biggest difference that the education makes is just the way that we communicate is a lot more streamlined. Like, we can learn songs really quickly because, you know, we can say what a chord progression is really easily. We can just call a key and then start playing and everyone can kind of grab on. So, I mean, because we're all educated, we can
just jump in pretty quick.
Yeah, we don't really need to rehearse and stuff. Like, that also comes from playing together for so long, where, you know, we have a communication in place. And, yeah, we all kind of know what we're doing, which is good.
You're in other bands also, particularly back home now, which is in Australia. Tell me a bit about those bands, that music, and where people can listen. What projects do you have going on right now?
So my main project in Australia is a group called the Moonshiners, and we play pub music, fun drinking music and stuff, and a few Whiskey Dick songs I even do with the Moonshiners. But the big difference there is that we don't have a great fiddle player. Like, it's hard to find fiddle players in my town. It's a town of like 2,000 people, and it's like a beach kind of culture. So we're a lot more bluesy than the Whiskey Dicks, because instead of having a fiddle as the lead instrument, we got guitar. So the Moonshiners does a lot of kind of surfy, bluesy stuff, and we're guitar, bass, drums. And we do a lot of the punk sort of sensibility kind of stuff that the Whiskey Dicks do. But it's not as Irish, because we just don't have a good fiddle.
Right.
Yeah, it's a different vibe. But we're
is there the market for it there, or is it just a different scene?
Well, blues is a big scene where I'm from. But the biggest thing where I live in Australia, it's a town called Yamba on the north coast of New South Wales, and it's some call it the world's largest above ground cemetery. it's the newlywed and the nearly dead, as they say. There's a lot of just so many old retired people, and that's who you're entertaining a lot of the time, because they're the ones who have like free time to go out to gigs. So you end up playing like at the local bowling club or the golf club, and so the crowds there are a lot different than here, just mostly because it's kind of backwoods regional Australia. But I'll tell you, man, there's like five songs that if you played those five songs over and over, they'd think you were the greatest band on the planet. So if you did like Brown Eyed Girl, Mustang Sally, Sweet Home Alabama,
you got them for life.
Yeah, so the trick is avoiding those songs and still getting a gig.
Mr. Ryan Enns in studio, lead singer of the Whiskey Dicks, in town for a few weeks.
I'm in the country for
a little bit.
Yeah, I'm in the country for 5 weeks, and we're doing 20 dates. So there's a dozen shows in Whistler and five in Vancouver, one in Whitehorse. And it's a beginning of a marathon right now, because we've done 3 out of 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
Exciting. Fans of your music, fans of the Whiskey Dicks music, where can they get in touch with the band online, on social media? How can they book you guys?
We're on the internet. The trick is making sure you spell it right. There is actually another band called the Whiskey Dicks. That's always going to be like that now. There's only so many good names. But just for the record, we've been the Whiskey Dicks since 2001, so we should own the name, I reckon. But there is a difference. We spell Whiskey Dicks one word with an E, so we do Canadian spelling. If you type like WHISKY Dicks, then
you might get
two words. Yeah, there's a band from Ohio or something. And so.
TheWhiskeyDicks.ca on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, all social media.
Ryan
Enns is here in studio with us right now. Of course, you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR from Vancouver, streaming and podcasting the world at CITR.ca. Any final thoughts here, Ryan? Anything you'd like to touch base on?
Well, I think for me, like these days with the band, it really is like a time machine. And the more we do it, the more I find that music is a time machine for a lot of people. Hey, like we listen to music that reminds us of being 10 years younger.
Big time. Seeing you guys last night, I felt like I was back in time.
Yeah.
Pretty cool experience.
Yeah, so it is like a real nostalgia kind of a groove going on in my head these days, just like.
But that being said, there's I'm sure half that bar last night was the first time they ever heard you guys.
That's true.
And it, you know, what's the secret? Not everybody has it, but every time I've seen you guys perform, people are up and dancing and energized almost immediately. There's a very high level of engagement with the crowd that doesn't seem forced or fake. What's going on there?
Well, that's just, I think it's important when you're playing a show that people are investing in you by paying attention. So you got to make sure that they feel like they're getting something out of it and that they're part of something rather than just an observer. Because, you know, you can watch music on YouTube. There's that many ways to get entertained these days. But if you can kind of bring everyone together and be part of something for a night, then that's a really great thing. That's something I gotta start opening my eyes again when I play, because I was just having to think so much about what we're doing. You know, it's my first shows in 6 months. So by the end of this trip, it'll be back into full effect.
is that something conscious, or does that just happen?
Oh, it's just when I gotta focus, I can't be looking around because I get too distracted. So that's something I gotta think about. But it's just the greatest thing when we play for people that remember our songs, and you know, when people invest in your creativity and then you get it back later, it's great. And there's something else.
Musically speaking, just give me a basics of the dynamic of the band. Who are the members? What are the key instruments, and how are they arranged?
So Patty's the fiddle player, and he's sort of the creative, the melody master of the band kind of thing, where he'll usually come up with a melody, and he's really good about writing it down. He'll usually email me like a transcription of what he's done.
Wow.
Yeah, and then Mike and I write the lyrics most of the time. So I've written a lot of songs. Mike's written a few really great songs now too. And then Curtis is our rock. You know, he's my favorite thing is that things never seem to change with Curtis. He's on top of it. That's what we need. And then Sam is like mercenary drummer, where Sam, our drummer, he's gotta be the best drummer I know, man. And he plays in so many bands, so we're usually pretty lucky when we can get him, when he's got a night free. And he knows the song so well now, which is funny. So he's a mercenary that's been hired by the same mob enough times, and he knows a lot of the songs, like he knows them better than I do now, which is cool. And so that's sort of how our roles fit together. And you know, the roles are always changing. That's the best thing about this band too, is just that things are always changing. Like even last night we did three songs that we'd never done before, and that's, you know, that's 16 years into, or 15 years into being a band, still doing new things. And every time I come back, because I'm here like every 6 months, every time I come back, there's something new. So Patty and Curtis both sing now too, where it used to be just one singer. Now there's three, sometimes four people singing. Wow. Yeah, so, you know.
It must be pretty cool to see that kind of growth and totally. Development in the whole thing.
Yeah.
When it started, did you ever imagine that 10, 15, 16 years later, it'd still be going strong?
No. And in fact, like we were billing our shows as like our final shows in like 2010. I remember it's like front page of the newspaper in Whitehorse was like Whiskey Dicks to play their final show at Sunstroke in June. And it happened way too many times that we thought, I'm moving away.
It's gonna be it.
So we just kind of figured that things were wrapping up, but the band just went from strength to strength.
So the thing has its own energy now. It sort of rolls on.
Well, it's Patty, man. It's Patty and Curtis that just, you know, they just keep the thing rolling and just adapt to new venues and find ways to get in. Like everything, it's the one constant is everything's always changing, man. Like there aren't any venues that we played at 3 years ago that's except the Dublin Gate and Whistler. So I mean, the amount that venues turn over in this town
is just staggering.
Yeah. And they'll all go through phases where they, you know, they'll invest in live music to get people out, and then, you know, they'll find that they need to adjust their budget, or, you know, the liquor inspector tells them that they're too loud, or, you know, all these things that change over time. And so for the band, like, we're always adapting and finding a new way. Life will find a way.
Yeah. Ryan, it's been quite a treat to have you here in studio. I've been one of my favorite bands for a number of years now.
Sweet.
And will continue to be. We'll continue to follow the works of yourself and the Whiskey Dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for having me, Robin. I'm really happy to finally get the chance to come in and talk to you, man.
It's the end of the night and my liver is smoked, swimming in beer and my pants are all soaked, with too many sociables, too many cheers, all in the name of good times with my peers. But now I feel sluggish, I've run out of words, just speaking rubbish and spewing out slurs. Don't want this night to end, let it go. Need something strong to keep us up till dawn.
You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR.ca, with the sounds of the Whiskey Dicks. I've got live on the line one of the members of the Whiskey Dicks, the lead singer, Mr. Mike Bell. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Excellent. Vancouver's number one party rock band. How many shows do you guys play a year?
About 125.
125 shows a year. Amazing.
Yeah.
And can you tell me, Mike, who are the core members of the Whiskey Dicks?
So the main core is myself, Patrick Ernst on the fiddle, and his brother Curtis Ernst on the cello. Played like a bass. And then we have our auxiliary members for the bigger the show, more members. So we got Sam Cartwright on drums, and then we have Kyle Axford on trumpet. And then occasionally we have the older lead singer Ryan Enns on guitar and vocals, or mandolin and vocals.
Incredible. And singing this song, or I should say writing, Dave Kranos wrote this song, yeah.
That's right, yeah. That was one of the first Whiskey Dicks songs around 02.
Wow, and it's still a song that lives on full and strong to today.
Definitely, and that's him singing it.
And now the core members of the band are from the Yukon, is that correct?
Yes, and I'm from Prince Rupert.
All right. So it's not an Irish band, but there is sort of an Irish, Celtic, Eastern feel to some of the music, yeah?
That's right, yeah. So we're all a bit Irish, but we just think it's great, fun music. We play a lot as a trio, and we can have a pretty huge sound with just a trio, but yeah, the bigger the show, the more members.
Now you, Mike, you're the lead singer of the band, the front man of the band. You've been so for the last, 5 years, somewhere there?
5 years, yeah. Yeah, so in 2001 I started as the drummer singer, and that went on for, I guess, about 8 years, and then I moved away to Germany for a bit. And then I came back, and the lead singer guitarist ended up moving to Australia with his wife. So it was perfect timing.
Amazing. So you were able to keep flying the flag then.
Yeah. And I already knew all the songs, basically, so I just had to learn them on guitar and learn the words.
Totally. And so I understand now you yourself are making another move. How does that affect things?
Well, I'm moving to L.A., but we still have a ton of gigs booked in Vancouver and Whistler in that area, and we still play gigs in Hawaii and Vegas occasionally. So I'll be flying all over the place for that, and then we'll see what happens in the future.
Well, congratulations. That's it may be a little bit hectic, but I think that's a quite an accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah.
So on vocals here, this is Ryan Enns, is that right?
Yeah.
The ground she moves, stumbling drunk and full of booze. Scurvy seamen fill this dive, drunk for years but still alive. And then I wake up with
a mouthful of dirt in a ditch without a shirt. And next to me, the cause and cure. I may be wasted, but I don't waste beer. So raise your glass up to the sky. One big pole will suck it down. You're in and out. Not below, so join me in my drinking song.
The music certainly makes me want to take a drink even right now. It's a super energetic, fun party drinking band. Despite that sort of vibe, as you were saying, you guys are all trained musicians, yeah? Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, we got a lot of music degrees in the bands. Pretty much everyone in the band has a music degree of some sort. We got a couple jazz guys, a couple classical guys. Yeah.
Wow. And how does that shape the music, even though it's not classical music nor is it jazz music?
Well, we definitely like to put little instrumentations in there that are kind of intricate and written out and everything, and sneak in a little musician things that musicians would notice.
Strings and violin have always been a very prevalent part of the Whiskey Dicks. Who's on the strings here?
So that's Curtis Ernst on the cello, Pat Ernst on the fiddle.
And when you guys started the group, did you have a sort of vision of what you'd like it to be or where you'd like it to be, or has that changed? Or
yeah, I guess we have always been kind of a drinking party band, and that's what we still are. So.
If you like what you're hearing, make sure you check out thewhiskeydicks.ca. Sounds of the Whiskey Dicks. Right here on 101.9 FM of Vancouver.
Back it up, back it in. Let me begin, because I'm going to make it worth your while. The Whiskey Dicks are back again, so don't you dare touch that dial.
Yeah, we will have more on the Whiskey Dicks to come. Mike, I just wanted to thank you for your time. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
With lyrics up my sleeve, he's a little brown bag full of homegrown beats. It's about time I stop clowning around. About time I put the mic stand way, way down. For the souped up homeboy from the old town, coming at you live, coming in the brown. He's the man, his name is Reed Herring, yeah. He is the man with the plan, his name is Reed Herring. Here he goes.
Centric, can it be the whiskey magic? Teamed up with the old rap bandit. England can't handle it.
Those blokes are outlandish.
Throw a show with the savage action antics. Like a rabbi.
101.9 FM, CITR.ca. Listen to the sounds of the Whiskey Dicks.
You don't got to go to work, just quit or call in sick. Then meet me at the marge of Lake LaBarge, bring a shovel and a puck and stick. And we'll drive your truck out on the ice to make sure it's good and strong and thick. But that Chilcoot lager freezes fast, so we'd best be drinking it quick.
on the line with us today. One of the original, one of the key members of the Whiskey Dicks, Mr. Patrick Ernst. Pat, how are you doing?
Great, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Patty, can you tell me how did the Whiskey Dicks come to be? How did this band come together originally?
Well, we were playing together, and I had a friend that was a social activities coordinator at Capilano College where we were attending.
And this is when? What year was this approximately?
2001.
Wow. Okay.
And basically, he asked me to form a band for St. Patrick's Day pub night for the college.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I asked Mike and Ryan, who are still in the band, to join me, and we had a couple other people back then. Dave Cornish, who wrote the drinking song, and yeah.
How old would you guys have been at that time? How old were you in 2001?
I think I was 18.
Wow. Wow. How many albums have the Whiskey Dicks produced at this point in time?
Four.
Okay. So the latest one, of course, is self-titled albums called the Whiskey Dicks.
Yes.
I love drinking away a sunny day with a flat of Yukon brew. And when it's cold, that Yukon gold makes a damn good slushy too. And I'm all
Pat, tell me about the Yukon connection.
Gladly share with you.
Well, Ryan, lead singer, and Curtis, my brother on cello, and myself were all from Whitehorse, Yukon. And
did you guys all know each other? You've been from there, but the band didn't start until later point in time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were all playing music together when we were a kid, and we had a big influence of Yukon musicians. Yukon music is very diverse. There's musicians that come up there or who live up there, stay up there, who are from all over the world, all different genres. So basically we had a lot of exposure to different kinds of music.
So even though it's a pretty remote place, there's still a versatile, still a lot of variety and richness in the music that would come through. And obviously evident in the sounds of the band.
Yeah.
Pat, tell me about the band's gone through a few, what can you call it, eras or a few changes over time, over the years. It's 2017 now. Tell me a bit about who the band is and what the band is and what the band will continue to be.
Well, the band was always lead singer, guitar, fiddle, bass, and drums whenever. But we have done, fiddle, guitar, and bass as a trio. But we also added trumpets in about 2007, 2008.
Wow, and that obviously takes it to a whole different level. It makes it a much larger sound, and horns are pretty powerful, as it is.
Yeah, and, we have two friends, Mark D'Angelo and Kyle Axford, who's been in the band since then, and those two guys, we just asked them just to come out and jam initially, and then they became the part of the
became
band.
Fixtures, that's awesome. Ryan Enns, of course, was the original singer of the band. He left, when did he leave?
He left 2011.
And was that must have been a sort of traumatic moment for the band? How did that affect things, and what happened from there?
Well, it wasn't traumatic. It just because Mike Bell, who was before drummer, knew all the songs, knew all the arrangements. So he just took over on guitar and vocals.
Amazing. And Mike, of course, we just spoke with him earlier. He's been the singer of the band for the last, almost 7 years now? Five, six, 7 years?
7 years, yeah.
Awesome. And of course, yet another big change is upon the band now as Mike himself takes on another move in life. As he mentioned, he's still, of course, playing gigs with the band. But how will the band carry on from here on forward?
Well, we have Mike, who's just a couple-hour flight away in L.A. He's going to come back for, you know, a couple weeks of touring. And we'll also go down and play with him in Southern California and Hawaii. So I don't think anything is going to change too drastically. I mean, we might have to go play in different parts of the world. We also have Ryan Enns, who is playing with us the next month to sub for Mike. His leave of absence, but then after that, Mike will be back. And
amazing. So things will continue on strong for the year to come and beyond, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, we have, you know, strings of 2 or 3 weeks of steady gigs. So, you know, one or both of them would be available to do that, then we'll make it happen.
Super.
And
if people want to book the Whiskey Dicks, what's the best way to go about doing that?
Send us an email at thewhiskeydicks@gmail.com.
So thewhiskeydicks@gmail.com. And the website, of course, is whiskeydicks.ca.
Thewhiskeydicks.ca.
Thewhiskeydicks.ca. Make sure you check them out. The Whiskey Dicks play in town and right here in Vancouver frequently, commonly at Dublin Gate. What are some other venues you guys play at?
We play at the Wolf and Hound in Vancouver, Falcon Eddie's, Kaylee's Irish Pub, Toby's. Just check, go on our website, check it out for future dates.
Super. Always guaranteed one hell of a good time. Pat, thanks for taking the time to call in right now.
Hey-ha.
Hey-ha. Wish you all the best for 2017. 101.9 FM, CITR.ca, an interview with the Whiskey Dicks.
call rppsound.com.